Have you ever wished you could be paid to do your hobby, give up the day job and follow your dream? James Buster found his passion as a child just clowning around, but never imagined he could do it professionally. But now, others whose age are juggling money and responsibilities, and James is juggling just about anything. Balls, chainsaws, toilet seats. It's not just a cool party trick, though. Research shows there are mental and physical health benefits to juggling. We'd like to hear from you too. If you've turned a passion project into a profession, or if you've had a go at juggling, let us know on our Facebook page. Or you can send us a text 0418 226 576. James Buster, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. When did this fascination with clowning and juggling begin?
It started when I was living in the UK, where I was born, obviously by the accent. The accent's come back now. But it started in the UK. There used to be a theme park around the corner from our house, which had a circus there, a resident circus. So it was basically a zoo and a circus. And I begged my parents to let me go watch the circus every weekend. So that was pretty much what I did every weekend when I was a kid, was go and watch a circus. And I just loved watching the clowns and the jugglers and the acrobats and everything like that running around. And it was just something that really interested me since such a young age. But I never saw it becoming a job at that point in time. It was just something that really interested me.
And when did you first get your hands on a set of juggling balls and have a go?
Well, funny enough, I actually started off in magic. There was a famous magician in the UK called Paul Daniels, and he used to sell magic kits. So I started off in magic, but then I worked out that I just wanted to learn how the tricks were done. I didn't actually want to do it. I just wanted to know all the secrets. So I bought the box and then I'd learnt all the secrets and I never really performed them. But then juggling-wise, I think I picked up my first juggling balls when I was 11. And then I couldn't do it and I couldn't do it, but I just pushed myself and had dedication to the art and kept going and kept going.
And how was that regarded at school? Because sometimes juggling is really cool and sometimes it's seen as a bit nerdy.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't the cool thing. I think it's a funny thing between like magic and juggling especially, is that magic's kind of seen as cool and hip and things like that, whereas juggling is... you're a clown. And when I was at school and things, people would call me a clown, which was funny because at the time I saw that as a negative thing. But actually nowadays, that's what I do. So it's more of a compliment to call me a clown than it is to not. So.
And you moved to Australia, and then I understand that's when you began to hone your skills. What's going on? Is Australia some kind of hotbed of circus activity?
Well, I think Australia's got the... obviously, where I trained was the world-renowned Late Flying Fruit Fly Circus School in Albury, Wodonga, which is where I trained. But I don't know. No, I think that it's just Australia does have quite a big kind of circus thing. But, I mean, England does as well. But I think it was just more for me, it was the age factor of kind of getting to the age where I realised that, no, this is something that I really want to do. So when I was 11 and we moved to Australia, it was... until I was about 14 when I convinced my parents to let me run away and join the circus. So.
Now, you quite casually mentioned this, James Buster, but actually you literally ran away to the circus, didn't you? Tell us what happened.
So basically when I was 14, I was at a private school. And like we said, like obviously juggling wasn't accepted, but I liked doing it. And it was something that it was what when I was at school, I would kind of not be that happy, but I go home and juggle and that would make me happy. And obviously at school I got bullied and things like that, especially because I was English, tall, skinny, British accent or Geordie accent at that time. And then it was when I was 14, I got the chance to do work experience. So I always had an interest in obviously performing arts. So I went to a TV station for a week. And then I also went to the Flying Fruit Fly Circus just to do work experience. But I had no idea that it was actually a youth circus and a school. So I had no idea that when I turned up and then there was kids about my age running around doing circus tricks. And I basically sent my parents a message saying, I'm not coming home, I'm in heaven. And then they were like, no, you are coming home.
Let's talk.
Then I went home and I convinced them that that's what I wanted to do and that was my passion. And it was funny because with every other hobby that I ever had, whether it was drumming or things like that, my parents would always have to tell me, go practice, go practice, go practice. Whereas with juggling, it was more like, can you please go to bed and stop practicing, stop practicing. So they could see the passion, they could see everything like that. So they let me go.
What was it like going to school at a circus school? Did you have to go and board there?
Yeah, so because it was in Albury, Wodonga, I... had to catch the train down there for my first kind of week. And then you kind of live, you're bored with a family. So they found a family for me to board with. But it was actually quite interesting, though, because when I joined the circus, I went to school for one day. And then I woke up the next day and the people that I was boarding with woke me up and they were like, your school's burnt down.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah. What? And so, yeah, someone had set light to the school, which back then it was just a whole bunch of demountables. And there's two parts to the Fruit Fly Circus. There's the school and then there's the training facility. So the training facility was fine, but the school... Yeah, like I said, it was just demountables at that time. And, yeah, someone burnt it down. But in the end, again, years later, they've got their own purpose-built school building and everything like that. So
but
it was just one of those things that you kind of always go, oh, my school burnt down. It's like it's one of those kind of dreams of a kid to wake up and hear that. But it actually happened to me and it was, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be doing juggling today, but I won't be writing any essays.
We kept doing circus, so.
Oh, did you miss out on year nine? What happened?
No. We managed to kind of put up more demountables at another school. And then, like I said, they've now got their own purpose-built school as well as this training space. So
you've gone from going to the Fruit Fly Circus and going, this is what I want to do all the time, and now it is your full-time job. How did that come about in the end?
Well, honestly, it just happened. When I was at the Fruit Fly Circus, obviously I was touring around and we were doing shows in Japan and China and things like that. But then at the same time, because of my passion for what I was doing, I was doing my own shows on the side. So I'd be doing like little street performing shows and things like that in Albury or in surrounding suburbs or going and doing little shows here and there. And then when I got to my kind of last year at school, I had to get a normal job, obviously. I say that. I look at juggling as a normal job, but that's me.
Of course.
But I had to get a normal job, so I worked as a barman, and I loved it because I was behind a bar doing the Tom Cruise-style flair bartending and everything like that. But then I realised that I started getting offered gigs, and I was kind of turning the gigs down because of my bar work. And so I took the chance and went, no, okay, I'm going to quit the bar job and I'm just going to perform. And so I went out there and marketed myself. And since then I've never had a normal job. But what happened was that after I left Fruit Flies, I got a job. I got an email from Japan because I'd made myself a website and things like that. So I went to Japan and worked at a theme park over there for a year and a half. And then after that, it just kind of all flowed. And I went to Club Med and taught flying trapeze. Then after that, my dream was always to work on cruise ships, which was funny because I worked at Circular Quay for a year as well as a street performer to hone my craft. And I'd be looking at the cruise ships being like, one day I'll get onto those cruise ships. And so now it's funny that I kind of stand on the cruise ships looking down at where I used to work going, I've made it kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Well, and James, you once took on a challenge to juggle a lot of different things over a period of time. What kinds of things have you juggled across your life?
I've juggled the weirdest things, the wackiest things. I've juggled, like you said in the intro, like toilet seats. I've juggled fruits for companies. I've juggled lube.
Yeah.
I've juggled chainsaws, fish. That's probably the weirdest thing is fish. Fish is quite weird. Toilet paper. I've had my legs waxed while juggling.
Of course you have.
Yeah. I mean, to me, nothing's out of bounds. It's just fun. I've juggled while go-karting. I've tried to juggle while bungee jumping. That didn't work at all.
More
you think
work
that
needed.
I know something about gravity, but I thought it could happen.
And we did think about getting you to juggle chainsaws live in the ABC studio, but the occupational health and safety paperwork was a nightmare. But
yeah.
Do you still have all your limbs and your audience members too?
Yeah, no, I've still got everything. It's amazing. I mean, but the thing with juggling is that in the end it becomes I don't even have to think about it. It's like riding a bike. As long as I can pick up an object, then I can throw it and catch it. Pretty much. And it's the same with like juggling chainsaws or juggling knives or anything like that. In the end, I'm actually just juggling a handle. It doesn't matter what's on the end of that handle.
No, not at all.
No, well, not for me anyway.
Yeah. Well, and you also teach children juggling skills. What have you been noticing when you teach them?
Yeah, so I've noticed a massive thing going on at the moment where I've taught juggling for a long time, and obviously I've juggled for a long time, but I find that nowadays when I'm teaching juggling, I'm not actually teaching juggling, I'm teaching catching.
Because they don't already know that.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a weird thing because you'd think that they would. I mean, at school, when I was at school, and I'm 32 now, and it's like when I was at school, we'd kind of play throw and play catch or play hacky sack or things like that. So you get the hang of catching something. So I'm not really sure what's going on within, whether it's the education system or whether it's the home life and parents not necessarily letting their kids out or things like that. I've got no idea what the actual reason is, but yeah, I find that I just teach catching now. I'm not actually teaching, I want to kind of teach them how to juggle three balls or four balls or whatever it kind of is, but I find that I'm just teaching them the motor skill of kind of put your hand out and now close it, and that's how you kind of catch a ball. I can't believe I'm actually doing it as I'm talking to you, and I know that no one can see me.
Yeah. But we can imagine. Well, no, there are obvious physical benefits to juggling, but it turns out there are mental health benefits or mental benefits as well from the skills that you learn. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, juggling has been scientifically proven as a stress relief. So because you have to think so much about juggling, your brain kind of switches off from the everyday life kind of things that you worry about and stresses, and you're actually only just thinking about the juggling. So it's been proven as a stress relief, and it's used, and yeah, it has been used as a stress relief tool. If like you kind of go on, they say if you go and juggle for 10 or 20 minutes and just get your mind off things. It's funny though, because as you actually become a juggler, it's not a stress relief thing because obviously I want to get a trick, and so I have to actually really think about it, and it becomes more stressful, so I kind of have to put the balls down and stop. But in terms of someone that just wants to kind of stress relief, like juggling three balls is amazing. I mean, it's a bit of a stress when you learn it, obviously, but when you learn anything, but once you've got it, you've got it.
Great.
But
I'm looking forward to seeing the stress bell curve.
But it's also, like, juggling is a massive use of, like, right brain, left brain as well. So using both sides of your brain, and it's also been scientifically proven that you actually increase your brain capacity by 5% when you juggle, because you're opening up a part of your brain that you haven't always used because of the whole right brain, left brain situation.
That's really interesting. And Oxford University published that study in Nature Neuroscience, if you would like to chase it up. James Buster, professional juggler, thanks for joining us on Life Matters today.